Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us today L. Brent Bazell III, and we're going to be talking about his book, Weapons of Mass Distortion. And Mr. Bazell heads a group of media watchdogs, and he's been, of course, working for many years to expose the bias of the liberal media. Mr. Bazell, many years ago, probably 40 years ago, I read a book that was called McCarthy and His Enemies, written by two authors, two graduates of Yale University. And, of course, one of them was William Buckley. The other was a fellow named, I remember, Bazell. Was that you?
That was my father.
That was your father.
If it was I, then I was a prodigious 1-year-old.
All right, fine. Well, I didn't think that was you. That was Brent Bazell II, and you were Brent Bazell III. But, of course, you came from a good conservative, a God-fearing family, and I'm sure you've been working for many years to expose the bias of the liberal media. And you refer to them as weapons of mass distortion. Would you like to sort of develop those ideas?
Well, it's a complaint that conservatives have had about the press for 40 years, and it's a well-founded one. It isn't objective truth the public is getting. Indeed, there is no such thing as pure objectivity in the news media. It's a mythology. It doesn't exist, never has, never will. Why? Because as human beings possessing a discerning intelligence, we have opinions. And the opinions can't help but make their way through a news story. Whether it is deciding the very first question, what is news? How important a news story is? What the headline should be? What the lead should be? Who should be interviewed? How much time should be given to each interview? What parts of what interviews should be used in the final story? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each and every one of those is a subjective decision. The subjectivity that one gets in the press is overwhelmingly liberal. It's not something that I believe. It's something, not just something I believe. It's something that the vast majority of Americans today believe. And the media themselves, if you ask them in a private poll, as has been done time and again, overwhelmingly admit. The problem is, when you ask somebody in person, that same reporter looks at you right in the eye, askance, and says, of course not. We're unbiased and we're objective.
I had to smile in one of your stories about when you, of course, went to a breakfast with some liberal reporter, and you didn't really want to have an interview with a reporter. They wanted to talk about one of the conservative leaders who was a homosexual and died of AIDS. And, of course, you didn't want to discuss this. And they really snookered you into this whole thing, really by lying to you about the purpose of the interview. And then, of course, they accomplished just exactly what you feared that they would do. And I couldn't help but wonder, you know, why you ever let yourself be put into that position.
Good question. It was the worst form of gotcha journalism. Do we go to a break here?
No, we are in just a minute. You've got about 10-20 seconds. Go ahead.
It was a fellow I worked for who died of AIDS, and this reporter told me time and again she didn't want to do a story on the AIDS thing. She wanted to do a story on the sense of humor. I ended up agreeing to the interview. We laughed and talked, and I told all the stories, very funny stories. The next thing I know, she turned them all around and did a whole story on this gay conspiracy in the conservative movement using all my stories.
And, of course, haven't you learned you really can't trust a liberal? We'll be back here in just a minute here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Brent Bazell III, and we've been talking about his book, The Weapons of Mass Distortion. And Brent's been on the front lines of this battle for many years, his father before him, and he heads an organization. What's the title? What's the name of that organization?
The Media Research Center.
Right, and of course, I was just talking about, he tells a story about allowing himself to be interviewed by a liberal reporter that he was sure was going to twist the story, and the reporter promised him over and over again that wasn't what they wanted. They just wanted to get some bits about humor, and of course he finally gave in and had a good time with the reporter and then got stabbed in the back. And I laugh because I've had exactly the same thing done to me. And of course the difficulty is that I've got a rule now. I'm just not going to give interviews to reporters. I don't trust them.
No, and it's sad, but the first thing that one should learn, and obviously I didn't learn my own lesson, is never trust a reporter. There are plenty of journalists out there who are good reporters, but that doesn't mean all of them are. And it's not the only time it's happened. I had a columnist call me one night, a friend, a liberal, but a friend. And he'd been in my office. He'd been in my office several times. I'd shown him around. We got along just fine, and one night he called me at home and wanted to talk about some issue or other. We talked for about 45 minutes. I was guiding him through the waters on whatever the issue was, dealing with the conservative movement. About 4 days later, I pick up the local paper and open it up, and there's this column, and it's all about our conversation. Never told me he was interviewing me.
And that, of course, is not proper protocol. They're not supposed to do that sort of thing. And of course, when you talk to people off the record, they're not supposed to repeat it. But liberals are never noted for their integrity.
Well, unfortunately, one of the problems that we're seeing this year, and you're seeing it more and more and more, is an utter disregard for the truth. I expect this of Democrats. I expect this of liberals. But I don't expect this of the media. But sure enough, you're seeing it. In the last week, I don't know how many times, I've seen things that were just twisted beyond belief. For example, last week, in the midst of, or toward the end of this big bounce that John Edwards was going to give John Kerry in the campaign, there was a poll taken by AP. The poll found out that the numbers had gone up for Bush. So the article should have been all about how Kerry didn't get a bounce and Bush got the bounce from Edwards for whatever reason. Instead, the headline told it all. Kerry solidifies base.
Well, Pete, we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Mr. Brent Bazell III. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking with Brent Bazell, his book, Weapons of Mass Distortion, talking about the media, and he studied this for many years. And unfortunately, we really can't believe the media. And of course, there is a liberal bias within the media. But is there a bias even within the conservative media to withhold certain information as well, do you think?
Well, I go back to what I said a minute ago. Everyone's biased. Conservatives are biased too, but when you hear the term, the conservative media, this is a term that is used with regularity by the likes of Michael Moore and Al Franken and that crowd in talking about this right-wing, this vast right-wing conspiracy. They talk about the Rush Limbaughs, the Sean Hannitys, the Bill O'Reillys, the Bob Novaks, et cetera, Matt Drudges. The interesting thing is that in every single instance, with every single name they give out, there are two things that every one of those people has in common. One, that person openly, cheerfully, without blinking, without blushing, admits, acknowledges, champions, cheers his conservative bias. Number two, every single last one of them is a commentator, not a reporter. But if you flip the tables and you go to the other side, you find people with a left-wing ideology, A, demand to be called reporters, and B, demand to be considered objective. And therein lies the problem.
And, of course, what they do is they editorialize on the newspaper's pages as well as the editorial pages. You expect them to put their bias onto the editorial pages. But the reporting shouldn't be like that. It should be who, what, why, when, and where. And I agree with you totally. So often you will see these vitriolic expletives, you know, and they'll describe somebody, a conservative, the radical extremist, you know, foaming at the mouth, individual, you know, and they just love this radical right. You never hear about radical left. You hear about right-wing extremists. You never hear about left-wing extremists. And the litany really is intended to inflame the people, to influence them, and there's very little fairness there. So what do we do about it? How can we counter that? Because they control the media.
Well, but the good news is that the public is seeing through this. Which is why the subtitle of my book is The Coming Meltdown of the Liberal Media. If you look at the national surveys, you'll see that by the tens of millions, the American public are turning away from this news media. And 89%, according to one survey, 89% of the public today believes that what they're getting is a reporter's opinion, not objective news. That's terrible news for the networks. Of that 89%, overwhelmingly, people believe that the bias that they're getting is left-wing. As a result, and this is market economics, when you're not satisfied with one product, what you're going to do is look for alternatives. And that's just what they're doing. People are looking for new forms of media. They're swarming over to Fox. They're going more and more to talk radio. They're going to the Internet, anywhere but the networks and the other cable shows. CNN is in a free fall in the ratings. MSNBC is so far in last place, you need binoculars. ABC, NBC, CBS, they've lost almost 50% of their audiences in 10 years. They're in trouble.
That is the best news I've heard in a long time. Now, I hope that's beginning to be reflected somewhat in the, in the advertising income, because really they're totally dependent upon advertising income, and if the advertisers aren't advertising, why their income is going to fall.
You know, the interesting thing is that I'm not that knowledgeable in this area, but from what I understand, the CNN particularly has done a good job of convincing advertisers that although, yes, Fox is crushing them in the ratings by 3-1, CNN has a more enlightened audience, and so they demand, and they get higher dollars for the eyeball than Fox does.
Well, that you have to ask, wonder why, or maybe do we find that perhaps some of the advertisers are really sort of subsidizing CNN? Certainly, as I look and see what Hollywood does for the New York Times, and I see those full page advertisements day after day after day, advertising these motion pictures, and I wonder, are they ever going to get the money out of those advertising, or is this simply a means of subsidizing a radical left wing newspaper?
Well, I don't know if it's that. I know this, that argument can be made where PBS is concerned. But there's just no way that sponsoring a show on PBS is good for the bottom line of a corporation. You can't buy the eyeballs on PBS. There's so few people watching it. And yet you have a lot of corporate sponsors, and that's because they want to buy access.
Buying access, you mean what now?
They want to buy access to PBS, and they want to buy access to legislators who support PBS. Well, the best way to do that is put some of your corporate money into PBS.
All right, fine. Well, of course, if we can't get the truth through the regular media, then, of course, the American people are really in trouble, because we can't have a free society unless the people are informed. Certainly Jefferson talked about that, you know, well over 200 years ago. You know, if there's problems, educate the people, don't take away their freedom. And yet it seems we intend upon taking away our freedom, and more and more people have less and less knowledge about what's really going on.
It is a frightening proposition. This democracy, this wonderful experiment of ours, rests entirely on the ability of a free and informed public to cast its votes. When you don't have an informed public, then you really are jeopardizing the democratic process. I think that there are those in the news media who are doing just that, not deliberately. They're not planning to jeopardize the democratic process. But if you repeat an untruth long enough, sooner or later, you're going to get enough people to start believing it. For example, you hear the media to this day talk about Florida and about the the fact that it's questionable that George Bush won that campaign. What they don't talk about is the fact that not only did he win on election night, but not only did he win in every single recount, but in the final recount and all recounts, he won that too. And after he won that too, the media themselves said they wouldn't accept it. Why? They were going to do their own poll because they couldn't trust official government polls. So they spent a year with their own analysis and their own recount, at the end of which out came the announcement. George Bush won again. And yet they still continue to say that his election was controversial. That is threatening a democratic process.
Well, of course, they will point out that Al Gore got the majority vote, but ignoring the idea of the Electoral College, which is fundamental to our Republican form of government.
Yeah, but if you want to play that game, I'll play the game that George Bush got more votes than Bill Clinton, got a higher percentage than Bill Clinton. On and on we go. Your point is the only point that matters. It's the Electoral College.
Right.
That's the way this country was founded.
Well, you have a chapter in here on gay rights, a cause, not a story. And one of the things that really disturbs me so very, very much, having been involved in the effort to try to stop the AIDS epidemic by using standard public health techniques and finding out that at every turn we were blocked not only by the organized medicine, but by the media. We took an initiative into the state ballot here in California in 1988 that would have required mandatory reportability of HIV seropositivity, as we do with AIDS itself. Going into the election, we had two-thirds of the people behind us, and then the media came on with their big campaign. We came out of the election with two-thirds of the people against us. I wrote to 100 newspapers in California. Only three of them supported a standard public health approach, and nobody had ever heard of those three newspapers. Every other major newspaper in the California that responded to my request was on the other side. That just could not simply be by accident.
No, it's not. The gay movement has been very successful in organizing and recruiting and putting people into journalism. In fact, here's an interesting little point to ponder. Every year, you have this thing called the National Gay and Lesbian Journalism Association Convention in New York or Washington, I forget which one it is, where the goal is to promote the idea of gays and lesbians in journalism. Now, it's like, you know, it's like Hollywood. Nobody has a problem with it. When you talk about a gay actor, it's not an actor who is gay. It is a gay person who's acting. It is a person who is promoting a gay agenda in Hollywood. You know, we all know of plenty of people throughout the years who were in Hollywood who were gay. They never made a ripple. Nobody cared because they weren't promoting a gay agenda. I don't care who in the media happens to be gay. That's not important to me. What's important is a reporter using his homosexual agenda and promoting it in journalism. Hence the National Gay and Lesbian Journalism Association. Now, that association is underwritten by the media themselves. ABC, NBC, CBS, even Fox. They all pony up tens of thousands of dollars to underwrite this annual convention. And I watched that with real curiosity because I asked myself, what if a conservative group said he was going to organize the National Conservative Journalism Association and went to the same media outlets and asked them to sponsor it? I'll give you a better one. What if a Christian group went to the media and said, we'd like you to sponsor the National Christian Journalism Association? You can just hear the howls of protest. Absolutely not. That's too controversial. You're inserting your agenda into the process. That's not what journalism is supposed to be. Those are all the words you would hear. That's the very strange worldview of the news media today.
Well, sometimes I think we live in a world gone mad. Other times I'm sure of it. And, you know, there is no instance in all history where a nation has embraced a homosexuality where that nation has not eventually been destroyed. Because, of course, besides the physical impropriety, there's something that happens spiritually to the people who embrace this. And they're dying in large numbers, over half. A quarter of a million homosexuals have died in America of AIDS. And, of course, nothing's being done to stop its spread. And you have to ask yourself why. And why the gay leaders are doing everything they can to block an effective public health approach to stop an epidemic that is killing primarily gays. We'll be back here in just a few moments here. At Radio Liberty, our guest is Brent Bazell III, and we will certainly welcome your calls here If you have any questions or comments, at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The subject is weapons of mass distortion.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
And this is Dr. Stan, and I want you to know we do carry Miracle 2 products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Brent Bazell. His book is Weapons of Mass Distortion. And of course, you have a chapter there on George Bush's tax cuts. Would you like to sort of develop that idea?
Well, the tax cuts issue is a classic example of a media that either don't know what they're talking about or simply don't want to report news accurately. How many times have we heard the news media state that tax cuts cause deficits? We've heard that time and time and time again. There is such a thing as theories. We can theorize about what the next round of tax cuts may or may not accomplish. But there's also truth, there's also fact, there's also history in prior tax cuts, what they did accomplish. And if you look at the history of taxation, you'll see that every time that you have tax cuts, it jump starts the economy. There is economic growth. And once again, we've seen it with the Bush tax cuts. Once again, you saw economic growth. But still, you won't hear that. You'll hear only that it causes deficits. Now, to address the issue of deficits, remember Ronald Reagan. And when the man died, that was what they all told us in their obituary pieces, that he'd left behind a massive deficit because of the tax cuts. That's simply either being economically illiterate or not wanting to report the facts. What are the facts? Under Ronald Reagan, after the tax cuts, the tax revenue into the Treasury increased by a factor of 150%. It caused huge revenue increases because between 18 and 20 million new jobs were created by the tax cuts. Where do we get the deficit from? Spending, government spending, which was out of control. And the same thing is happening again, added with a healthy dollop of national security, the war, and things of that nature. But it's just discretionary spending. It's the United States Senate and the Congress that are like drunken sailors and won't stop spending money, and George Bush signs the bills. But it has nothing to do with the tax cuts.
And I agree with you totally, but what I don't understand, Brent, is why won't President Bush start vetoing some of these foolish pieces of legislation? I mean, the new Child Left Behind program for, I don't know, adding how many tens of billions of dollars for our national education, which we never should be taking care of at the national level anyway, the new program as far as the drugs for our seniors are concerned. Certainly, I mean, we have a tremendous increased spending over and above the war over there. Why won't the conservatives, and I'm not saying simply President Bush, but I think the Republicans and the conservatives should say, we're not going to go along with all this increased spending, and what they're doing with it.
I can't. I'd love to be able to argue with him, but I can't. I capitulate. It is the most frustrating thing in the world that I don't know if it is the blue blood in the Bush family, but, you know, the father was the same way. The father just did not like to pick a fight with the Congress, even though he did veto a couple of things, but George Bush has never vetoed anything. And here's the problem with that. You simply cannot look at the American people and give State of the Union speeches and say, I believe in XYZ and I will do XYZ, and your opposition does otherwise, and you refuse to fight them on it. As one organization pointed out, and I forget the numbers exactly, but if you listen to the president's last State of the Union speech, he talked about keeping the growth of government to 4% or something like that. And then started rattling off all the new programs he was proposing. Well, guess what? They busted his own budget.
I know. In fact, it was very interesting reading your book to find out that you're not a Republican, although you've been accused of it many times.
No, I'm an independent. I've supported many, many Republicans and happily done so. But I, for the longest time, I felt that as long as Lowell Weicker was in the Republican Party, there wasn't room for me. And now I feel the same way about our inspector. I'm much happier being an independent.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was just so infuriated when, of course, they backed Specter over a real conservative, and the Republican Party spent so much money in the primary, which they're not supposed to do, backing one candidate over the other.
If George Bush had not given such an impassioned endorsement of our inspector at the 11th hour, Pat Toomey would have won. I think the inspector won by about 4%. Pat Toomey would have won that primary. Interestingly enough, Arnold Specter is the biggest thorn in the side of conservatives. Pat Toomey is a 100% Reaganite who would have supported the president.
Well, we live
in a crazy world.
We live in a world gone crazy. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. We would welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Can you stay with us the rest of the hour?
Unfortunately, I can't. I've got another show starting in about 1 minute.
Well, then I'll have to let you go, but thank you so very much for being with us. The book is Weapons of Mass Distortion. Is it available at every bookstore?
Yes, sir. I highly recommend it.
I highly recommend it, too. God bless. Thanks so very much for being
with us. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention that we, of course, do carry a number of really exciting projects. One of them is the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Well.
Sorry about that.
The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is basically a wonderful way to teach your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. Everything is there that you need on 22 CDs. It's all in this CD computer program, and we don't want you to having your children using the computer. We want them learning to read, and the books are there that you want to have them raised on. The textbooks are there. A lot of just the old-fashioned books, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. You can just pull them down off these discs. And, of course, you can print them on out. The lesson plans are there. And the only thing you have to buy, other than the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, are the Saxon math books. So for $199.95, you can get a program that will take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation with a sound Christian foundation. We've sold a number of these Robinson Homeschool curriculums, and people really seem to love them. Let me recommend this to you. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. We're also carrying the Sanzian Radio. We actually have I think it's a 155. Anyway, it's got all the bells and whistles on it. And, of course, it'll be able to pull down our shortwave program. It'll pull down our AM and FM, and it's got a 45 or 55 station memory. Comes with a 26-foot antenna, and believe me, the antenna is the key to any good shortwave interception. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. Ask about the Sanzian Radio or the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. We think they are both excellent products, and we recommend them to you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we lost our guest, so we'll certainly open our lines if you'd like to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Right now, we have Roger calling in from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Dr. Stan. You know, I really like Brent Pozzali. You know, he's a little less problematic a lot, I'm sure. I appreciate him for many years. I think it's a mistake, though, when you get folks on that can't stay the whole hour and, you know, just plug their book and duck out.
Well, I think, Roger, that if you were doing the scheduling, you would have to do what I do, and that is you take them as long as you can. You hope they'll stay the hour. And many times they stay half an hour, and then they get so interested they'll stay the full hour. But, if they come on, you just can't say, well, I'm not going to take you for 30 minutes. That's not proper etiquette. Next time, of course, we will try to get somebody from them for the full hour. So it may be a mistake from your point of view, but we do the best we can. And, well, I'm sure we make lots of mistakes. Anything else you want to say?
If you get them back in a week or two when they have that full hour free, you know, like you had Ann Coulter on and Dave Limbaugh, the same circumstances. But anyway, I've been wanting to ask you for a while about, of course it's your job to shield folks from kind of ugly questions, but when there's absence of ad hominem, I think an honest question is fair no matter how much it challenges the guest. Do you agree?
Well, is it not a rude question? Did you have something you wanted to say, though, specifically?
No, I just wanted to ask him, but that wouldn't happen. I'll just save my comment for another time, and God bless Dr. Stan.
Okay,
so great job. Great job.
Thank you so much. And that was Roger calling from Pennsylvania. If you're out there, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that, Brent's writing from the point of view that the liberal press is bad. The trouble is the conservative press is just as bad. I take a lot of left-wing publications. I take a lot of right-wing publications. And the left-wing publications all love John Kerry and they hate George Bush. And the right-wing publications all love George Bush and they hate John Kerry. And what they're doing is giving you the idea you're seeing both sides of the situation. For instance, the Wall Street Journal is perceived by most people as being a conservative publication. It's really not. It's part of the same elite control. That's the conservative arm of the elitists. But they never tell you the full truth. They will never talk about the Bilderberger Group. They'll never talk about the elite who rule the world. They'll never talk about what lies ahead as the middle class is being systematically destroyed. They will not address the really important issues of the spirits about them which were engaged any more than the New York Times will. But you see, you have to give the people the idea they are seeing both sides. And this is the real tragedy today. The people do not understand that on the right we have the Wall Street Journal, the Reader's Digest, the American Spectator, National Review Magazine, the Weekly Standard. And, of course, all of them are controlled by people who are part and parcel of this whole world elitist movement. And literally, almost everyone we've described there as the people are either associated with the Bilderbergers or the Council on Foreign Relations or similar organizations. So until you understand that you never give the suckers an even chance, you give them the impression they're getting the truth, whereas the last thing you want to do is let the American people understand that we do have an elite that rule. And they have an agenda. And their agenda has nothing to do with preservation of America. It has to do with establishing a new world order and a new world religion. Now, I read the Wall Street Journal regularly, but then I read the New York Times regularly. And, of course, I want to get all of the information out, and they can't censor everything. And you will get a certain amount of truth in those and the other publications. We read the Washington Post Weekly. We read the Human Events. We read the New Yorker magazine has some excellent articles in it, especially those by Seymour Hersh, who everybody looks upon as a leftist, and I do as well. But I think he's an honest reporter. I think he's far more honest than most of the reporters out there. But until the American people understand that you never give the suckers an even chance, the Time magazine and Newsweek magazine and U.S. News and World Report are all controlled by people intimately tied into the Council on Foreign Relations. And if you doubt that, we have a wonderful article written by a man named Richard Harwood. It was written back in October of 1993, and it was published in, of all places, the Washington Post. And in that article, Richard Harwood's, I think it was called The Ruling Elite Journalism. And he just talks about how these people control journalism, how they control the government, how they control journalism. And he said this is the closest thing we have to a ruling elite in America. Well, I wouldn't say it's the closest thing we have. It is the ruling elite in America. And it, of course, is the American continuation of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the American continuation of the Roundtable Group, which is the front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. Until people understand that these things are not imaginary, this is not paranoia, this is the reality. And, of course, these people create wars. Their real objective is mass genocide. And you only need to read the writings of some of these people. You go back and you read George Bernard Shaw, who was a socialist, part and parcel of the founder of the Fabian Socialist Movement. And in his book, Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism, on the last page of his book, and any of you would like to read it, you can just drop us a note and we'll be glad to provide that last page for you because it's out of copyright. And there, of course, George Bernard says, when I see socialism, I mean equality of income or nothing. Under socialism, you'll be forcibly fed, housed, and clothed, whether you like it or not, and if you're found unworthy of all of our efforts, why, you'll be put to death in a kindly manner. But while you're allowed to live, you will live well. You see, they think nothing wrong with putting people to death. Bertrand Russell in An Intelligent Woman's Guide to Socialism and Capitalism, and there, of course, it's on page 103 and 104, talks about, to control the population, we need well, war isn't doing a very good job, and abortion isn't doing a very good job. Maybe if we had a black death that swept the world every generation, why this would control the population, then people could procreate as freely as they want to. If we had a black death sweep the world every generation, and then he goes on to say, well, of course, this might be very difficult, but high-minded people are really unconcerned about suffering, especially that of others. And this is what we're really talking about, people who have a different world vision. And, of course, you will never find anybody criticizing, George Bernard Shaw or Bertrand Russell in the modern media. H.G. Wells, another darling of the liberals, of both the conservative and liberal bent of the media, talked about this New World Order in his book, The New World Order, and he said, millions will hate the New World Order and will die fighting against it. That's what it's all about. They don't want the people to do what they want to. They don't want to give them freedom. The elite knows what's best for us. And until we recognize that there is an elite out there that works through organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations and like the Bilderbergers and like the Trilateral Commission and like the leadership of Masonry and Theosophy and Rosicrucianism and like communism, until we understand that they all work together for a common goal, the New World Order and the New World Religion, why, nothing is going to change. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts, because we really have nothing prepared. I hope that Brent would be able to stay the full hour. And, of course, he took off and left us. So, you know, we really have to try to make people understand that we're moving into an election in November where we have no choice between the two candidates. I wonder whether you're going to vote for Bush or a vote for Kerry or vote for a third party candidate. Give us a call. Love to know what you think. We had a guest on last night, a woman I really love very much, really care for. I've had her on as a guest through the years, Dr. Floyd Lelly. But she was saying that she's met Kerry, and she thinks he's an arrogant, well, she didn't call him an SOB, but she might as well have, that she, of course, is going to vote for George Bush because she can't stand Kerry. Other people came in and said they were going to vote for Kerry because they couldn't stand George Bush. Other people said they were going to vote for a third-party candidate because, of course, if Kerry got in, we might have gridlock. We might have the House and the Senate, or a lot of them actually controlled by the Republicans, and the White House controlled by the Democrats. And probably the best thing that could happen to the country would be gridlock. Well, let's go to Mark, who's calling from Toledo. Hi, Mark. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I appreciate you having Brent Bozell on. I had a chance to speak with him a couple of years ago when he was in Florida at a Reclaiming America for Christ conference. And I guess it's interesting to note that he says he's an independent because, as we all know, it's Socialist Party R, Socialist Party D. Which way do we go this election cycle? And
well, what are your thoughts? Which way are you going to go?
Right now I'm torn. I'm leaning towards the Constitution Party. My friends and my colleagues say, oh, well, vote for the lesser of two evils. But I say, well, if I do that, then I'm still voting for a man who says that we all worship the same God, whether it's Allah or Jesus, and I can't hang with that. So it's a tough call, but
Well, I will be having a Mike Perutka on here as a guest in a week or so, and so
I hope on C-SPAN. I caught that for half an hour. It was over the weekend.
What did you think of him?
I thought he was brilliant.
He really is.
The way he framed the argument concerning when people asked about separation of church and state, there was many callers who came in and just lambasted him and said, "Don't you know there's separation of church and state in the Constitution?" Blah blah blah, and he just sat there and smiled and says, "No, it's not there, and let me define my position." And I thought he did a brilliant job.
Well, I tell you what, sometimes I think if there are enough people who would vote their principles, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I just thought I'd put that in. Thank you,
Steve. God bless you. Good to hear from you. That's Mark in Toledo. Let's go to Ken in Seal Beach. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Gay marriage. I believe that if this gay marriage really does stick and the Supreme Court rules that it's constitutional for two people of the same sex to get married, I believe the next thing they're going to do is it's going to be pedophilia. I know it's a disgusting subject, but we are headed for a disaster.
But you see, I think the thing that where people get into problem, and nobody ever wants to talk about the spiritual aspect of this. Our freedoms come from God. There is a spiritual component to everything. There is another dimension out there. There are demonic forces. And, you know, homosexuality is wrong for many, many reasons, but the biggest one is because God says it's wrong.
Right.
And I think if we ignore God, and we take God out of the equation, why, God help us. And I'm not sure that he will.
Well, I'll tell you what, as far as the spiritual dimension, for people who do not believe that we're really in a spiritual battle for our very souls, there was a book written by a man named John Keel. I don't know if you've ever heard of John Keel. He's probably the world's expert on the occult. He's written about, 15 books on the occult. And he was a hard-boiled atheist until he started studying the occult and UFOs and things of this nature. And he was literally almost possessed by a demon. And he talks about it in his book, Why UFOs, Operation Trojan Horse. And he wrote this book in 1970, many years ago. But I'm telling you, the truth of the spirituality... it's an absolute fact, and we're going to be in for a rude awakening if we think we can do this on our own without spiritual guidance.
You're absolutely right, and when we turn against God, why can we ever expect God to bless us again? There's a wonderful book, and I don't know yours. In fact, is the author of that book still around, or is he passed on?
John Keel?
Yes.
He's still alive. He's 83.
I'm sorry.
He's about 70. He's about, I don't know if it's your age. He's about 74.
He's a young man then.
Yes. Yeah, he's 74. In fact, he was interviewed for one of the first times last year. Oddly enough, it was on the Art Bell Show. I know he's a strange guy, but he was actually interviewed. He doesn't do very many interviews.
Well,
if you
get his telephone number and call me off the air, I would love to get him on, because this is these are the subjects we need to address, and I think we do it as well as anybody. And of course, if you've never read Malachi Martin's wonderful book, Hostages of the Devil, the story of Father. Have you read that? What did you think of it?
Yes, I have. Oh, I mean, talk about a chilling account of what spirits can do to you. I mean, that was just horrendous. And I do believe it. I absolutely believe it.
I believe it, too. And for our listeners out there, if you have any question about what Ken and I are talking about, see if you can find a copy of Hostages of the Devil. And it will, I think it'll scare the hell out of you, you might say, if you don't mind my using the term.
Right.
Okay, God, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right.
We've got Bert calling in from Ohio, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Bert. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing fine. What are you going to do in November?
I was a supporter of the Green Party, but then there were some things that happened in Canada about money laundering and other things, and that I'm trying to decide on whether I want to switch you over to the Constitution Party, but I'm having a hard time finding information.
All right,
before I could jump into it.
If I could suggest, you have access to the computer?
No, sir. I just listen to shortwave.
All right, fine. Well, you keep listening to my program, because I've got Michael Perutka lined up for a couple of programs here. If you had access to the computer, you could go to Perutka, Perutka 2004. .com, or you look up the U.S. Constitution Party. But I will say that I believe in the Constitution. I wish the leaders of the Republican and Democratic Party did.
I'm in total agreement with you 100%. I just always felt that the Green Party was leaning towards... I never even knew there was a Constitution Party until I started listening to your program.
Well, you just keep right on listening, and I'm so glad you're listening. What part of Ohio are you living in?
Hamilton. I've called several times before.
Right.
I really love your show.
Do you get good reception on the program? On shortwave?
Yeah, I went out and bought the latest and the greatest in shortwave just so I could get your program. That's about all I listen to on the shortwave. So.
Well, God bless you. Hey, look, thanks so much. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, just that I'm looking forward to getting your catalog in and becoming one of the supporters. And I was just wondering, how long does that take for it to come through the mail? Or do you have a mailing list? Or I didn't mean to bring that up on the show. But.
Well, you just call our number, 1-800-544-8927, ask for the catalog, and you'll have it within about 10 days.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Fine. Let's go to Dale calling in Santa Cruz. Hi, Dale.
Hi there. Hey there. I'd just like to follow up on, there's a convention up in Nevada, and I was hoping you could offer the listeners a little more information on that.
All right, fine. There's going to be a program there starting next Wednesday, the 21st of July, going to run through the 24th. It's Freedom 21, Henry Lamb's organization. It's going to be at the Nugget Hotel up there. We've got special rates on the rooms. I'm going to be there, and I think a lot of our friends and people you've heard on our program. So if you're interested in going, go to freedom21.org on the web. Freedom21.org on the web. You can sign up there. It's very inexpensive, and I think a good time is going to be had by everyone. Hey, thanks
Thank
for so
you.
Much
God
for
bye.
Mentioning it. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I love doing open lines. I'll have to admit it's always exciting. So we're out of time. Somebody else is calling in, but we just have to put them off until the next program. So I think it's so important that we realize that we have two political parties controlled by the elite. Why not try to get somebody who represents our positions into office rather than that of the elite? They're going to say what you want to hear, but in the final analysis, tragically, why they are beholden not to the American people, but to the people who pay the bills, who control them, who control their very show. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I want to tell you about some of the items that we have, which I think will help you better to understand what's going on in that country. And certainly we have a four-tape set called The Secret Government. It includes my interview with Professor Quigley. Now, it's not an interview I did, but one I purchased from his widow back in 1980, where Professor Quigley talks about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and how his book was suppressed, and about us, of course, right-wing conservatives who we just look down on as sort of inferior people. But it gives you a tremendous insight into this man who we really are indebted to. Whether we like him personally or not, he was a brilliant individual, and he did more than anyone else to expose the secret society that dominates America today, which is an outgrowth of the secret society Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. So let me suggest the Secret Society four-tape set. It has my talk on geopolitics, and of course it has my interview with Norman Dodd, Director of Research of the Reese Committee. So that's the Secret Government four-tape set. We also carry a wonderful book, which I recommend to you strongly. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. If you haven't read it, you really must. It's a book that changed my life 40 years ago. When I found that the Rockefeller and Ford and Carnegie Foundations were pushing socialism and communism, and then, of course, as time goes by, we find that many wealthy people put in socialism and communism. I mean, Kerry is probably the richest man ever to run for the presidency with his wife's money. And he's pushing socialism in the United States. Why is he pushing socialism? Because it's an elitist concept, because this is how you destroy our system of limited government and place an elite bureaucracy in charge. And who's going to be in charge of the elite bureaucracy? Why, if John Kerry and his wife have their way with their half billion dollars or billions of dollars, they'll be in charge. And they will rule over us and do whatever they wish here in the American democracy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, if you believe that we have freedom of the press here, you really need to get the book Into the Buzzsaw. It's Kristen Borgensen's book, and she was actually employed by CBS 60 Minutes and was doing quite well until she tried to get the truth out about the downing of TWA 800, and then, of course, she was fired from CBS. She went over to ABC. They were going to do a program, and pressure was brought to bear, presumably by the CIA. But, of course, well, we can only imagine. If you read the book, you find the hand of the intelligence agencies there covering up what really happened to TW 800. So the book, Kristen Borgensen, 18 Essays by 18 People Within the Media, who were not allowed to tell the truth, and all lost their jobs because of it. This is what we're really up against, whether it be conservative newspapers or liberal newspapers. There's certain facts that the American people are not to know. Into the Buzzsaw by Kristen Borgensen, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, we told you earlier about our four-tape set, The Secret Government. We have a four-tape set on secret societies, which contains my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course, a talk I gave to the Concerned Women of America many years ago about Cecil Rhodes' secret society. Really, probably one of the best overviews of the background of that secret society and the background of the Boer War. And then, of course, if you get the Secret Society special, you get several-hour videos, two different sets of two-hour videos by William Stebling going into the secrets of the Illuminati, the background of the Illuminati, of which he was in the upper echelons of the Masonic movement, and, of course, the Satanic movement, which works there. So let me suggest that you consider the Secret Government special, or the Kennedy assassination special, or the Pagan Agenda special, or the FBI special. We have all sorts of specials where we lump things together for one purpose, and that is we want you to get this material, and we won't give you our permission to copy anything that we have created, produced, and disseminate that out across America. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and of course we hope that you'll pull down our newsletter and copy the newsletter that goes back to the mid-1990s, that you will actually listen to our archive programs, that you'll look at the various items we sell, including the Big Perky items. If you buy those through us, you get a free four-tape set or a video we've actually produced. And then, of course, we hope you will tell others about our programs. Now, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 4 hours on satellite, 4 hours on shortwave. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will make it a point to seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do and reach out across America. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, your job is to tell as many people as you can about Radio Liberty. And tell them about the things we talk about. Tell them about the true story of how communism came to Cuba. Tell them how we have been financing communism since its inception. And you can get the documentation of so much of what we try to get people to think. The easiest thing is to insist that we're not a republic. Pardon me, we're not a democracy or a republic. And learn how to explain to them the difference and ask them, could it be possible somebody is controlling your mind? We need, of course, to get people to begin to think about what's going on. Begin to realize that we have a one-party system. We're moving towards the destruction of America. And there is no wall of separation between church and state. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And when, of course, you can begin to get them to understand this, then, of course, you can hopefully begin to mobilize them to joining us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.